hopefully with the Spirit of the Lord tonight to lead us and guide us, we can all be enriched by the Word of the Lord and by the Spirit of God, certainly to which we're leaning on during this particular troublesome time that we are in tonight. First of all, I would like to start off with an inspirational scripture for today. And that scripture is found in the book of 1 John, chapter number 4 and verse number 18. We had an opportunity to share this scripture on a number of occasions already during this COVID-19 scare and the virus, which is seemingly running rampant in the world today. And there is a lot of fear. There's a lot of panic. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration as well. But I think we each and every one just need to take a deep breath, put our faith and trust in the Lord, and know that He's greater than any problem, any trial, certainly greater and more powerful than any virus. But the scripture said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And how very fitting that is as we face the trials and tribulations that we are been able to face during this last probably 5 or 6 weeks. I don't have to tell you that our world has changed dramatically in the last couple of months. I would say even in the last month itself. What used to be the norm is not the norm anymore. What we used to take for granted, we can't do so anymore. Things that we were able to come and go at will, those things are no longer a reality at this particular time. But if I had any word of encouragement, any word of hope tonight, it would just be to continue to trust in God, and He will see us through, and we will fight this, and we will win through the Lord, because I believe that we are more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens us. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for Your Holy Spirit. I thank we are, Lord, for Your guidance. Lord, I pray tonight that You would lead us and direct us in the word that You would have us to give tonight. Father, I pray that You would reach out there and touch each and every one tonight. God, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. God, we know that You are a God of comfort. I pray, God, that You would speak, Lord, to those souls tonight. Pray that You would reach out to each and every individual. God, I pray for those who are battling this virus. Father, I pray for those who are helping in the medical field, those first responders, our nation, not only our nation, but each and every nation, of every people, of every race, of every creed, of every color. Father, we're all in this together, and we know that through our faith in You, that we will be overcomers. And Father, now we just ask You to lead us and guide us tonight in this message and in this service. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give You all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we want to welcome you to our service tonight. And just to let you know, we will be live streaming on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and also on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, the 11 o'clock service. At this particular time, we will not have a Sunday evening service, but we would like to encourage each and every one of you, especially our members at First Pentecostal Church, to use this time and meet there in your home at the specified time of service at 6 o'clock each and every Sunday night until we're able to get our services back on track. And I encourage you to have a family devotional, a family time of prayer, reading of the Scripture. Bring your children in, cut off all the technology, all the things that might interfere with you, and just have a wonderful time of family worship. And if you can't come to the church, you can bring the church into your living room. So we encourage you to do that on Sunday night. Tonight I want to start in the book of Genesis tonight, in the 4th chapter. We have prayed and asked the Lord's leadership and guidance for this particular live stream. And because I just told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to comfort people. I wish I knew. I wish I had the magic words just to tell everybody to be at ease and to be at comfort, and this would soon pass." But then the Spirit of the Lord just kind of let me know that it's not me that's going to give comfort to anybody, but it's His Word. And being able to trust in Him and know that God can see us through these very trying times. So I would encourage each and every one of you to study God's Word, to be led by His Spirit. All right, tonight from the 4th chapter of the book of Genesis, I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight, if I may. one that probably every Sunday school attendant could probably recite. But this is where the Lord led me. In the fourth chapter, beginning with verse number 1, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Tonight, for just a little while, I want to speak on this message topic, the problem of a me-first attitude. The problem of a me-first attitude. From a very early age, we're taught to be independent. We're taught to be self-serving. We're taught to be able to take care of ourselves. When we begin to mature and become an adult, then we are expected to be the provider. We're expected to be strong. We're expected to be somewhat independent. All of those things are well and good, and we need to understand that. But we also need to understand that we have a debt, and we have a debt of obligation to our brothers and to our sisters, which is backed up by the Word of God. It's been very alarming to me lately to see some of the things that are transpiring in our world. When these things begin to come to pass, and there's seems to be, I'm going to get it for myself first, and regardless of anybody else, it kind of alarms me, and I'm not the only one that's brought that up. The talk is that a lot of people have seen a side of folks that is somewhat alarming, to say the least. It's almost we've all heard the word lately, the hoarding attitude, when everybody grabs it for themselves, regardless of their brother or their sister, whether they get anything or not. And let me tell you, it's time for that we settle down. It's time that we are our brother's keeper. It is time that we look out one for another, especially our senior citizens, especially those that already have some disabilities or some health problems. And certainly it's up to us. It is an obligation. I think that we'll find in the Word of God that He tells us and He shares that we are needed. We do need to be able to take care not only of ourselves, but also of our brothers and sisters. Cain offered, in fact, he offered first to God from what his substance was. In other words, he was a farmer. He was a tiller of the ground. So he brought forth his sacrifice or his offering unto God. The Bible tells us that Abel did the same thing. And Abel brought an offering unto the Lord. And unto Abel's offering, God had respect, or it pleased God. But Cain's offering did not please God. It did not. He was not respectful of it, or he did not accept it. I would venture to say it was not so much of what Cain gave and what Abel gave, inasmuch as it was how they gave. I believe that the Bible would bear out that Abel was a humble man, and he gave unto the Lord, and he gave from his heart, and he gave unto the Lord, knowing that basically everything he had he could attribute to the Lord. Maybe Cain was a little resentful. Maybe, again, the Bible doesn't exactly say why it was that Cain's offering was not accepted, but according to his actions after the fact, we see a side of Cain that was not very pleasant. We see a side of Cain that was not humble. And we see a side of Cain that was vindictive and hateful. And these kind of feelings can morph into something greater. You know, anger can cause hatred, and then certainly hatred unchecked may even lead to murder, which it did in this particular case. And we find that Cain had an opportunity, even after God had not respect for his offering, to repent and ask God to help me to be a better person. Because God began to speak to him. He said, why are you down? Why has your countenance fallen? And it was almost like Cain was in a sullen attitude. He was frustrated, mad at God. And unfortunately, I've seen some of that recently. I've seen some people pointing fingers, trying to blame this one, trying to blame that one, some even blaming God. And this is not healthy at all. It is certainly not healthy spiritually. This is a time when we should come together. This is a time when we should lift our brother up, be concerned one for another, help one another. I can see an opportunity here where maybe some folks may not. I see an opportunity for us to understand that it is all about him and not about us. This is a time that we need to grow stronger. This is a time that we need to be more dedicated to the Lord, need to be more faithful to our churches and to our congregations, and forsake not the assembling of ourselves one for praying one for another when that opportunity arises. Because this old saying is, you never really miss something until it's gone or until it's taken away from you. And tonight, I know a lot of countless people would love to be in a congregation and a sanctuary worshiping and praising the Lord tonight, but because of the consequences, we're not able to do so. But let me tell you something. The Lord is just as real in your home as he is in this sanctuary. And thank God for that. His Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us and direct us wherever we go. But there is a problem of the me first attitude. The problem is that in doing so, many times we push our brother or our sister down in order to fulfill our desires or our needs. It's always been around. It's been around since the very beginning of time. We see it in Cain and what he did to Abel. Many times you can kill people without physically killing them. You can spiritually kill people. The Bible talks about the deadly poison of the tongue. And certainly we have seen that evidenced lately. Now, I say lately, past several years, we've seen how powerful the tongue is and how hateful the tongue can be and how it can tear down people spiritually. I want to speak to the church tonight. I want to speak to the body of believers. And I thank God for our local church here, but for those of you that may not be a member here but are a member of a Bible-believing church elsewhere, those that wherever you congregate and wherever you get together with your parishioners and with your people in the congregation, this is a time that we need to bond together. This is a time that we need to hold one another up, stand shoulder to shoulder to fight against the adversary. It's not a time to get mad at each other. It's not a time to get mad at the stores. It's not a time to get mad at the government. It's not time to get mad at other countries. If we get mad at anything, let's get mad at the adversary, because I will assure you, our adversary, which is Satan, the devil, he's having a heyday with all of this. He's bringing fear. He's bringing hatred. He's bringing frustration. Many, many people are at their wits' end. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. And he is attacking the church any way that he possibly can. And he's using every tool in his arsenal to try to do that. But I've got news for you. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. We can put our faith and trust in the Lord, and God will never, ever let us down. As Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? It brought to mind what we're seeing here. And I want to say a very special thank you to our church here, our local assembly. And it's not ours. I've heard of other churches doing it as well. And also other organizations, some of the food places and different people are stepping up. And one thing about this great nation that we live in, when trials and tribulations and persecutions attack us, seemingly we come together. We lay aside our little differences. We lay aside our little idiosyncrasies and our little cliques, and we come together as one nation under God. Amen. And when we're one nation under God, we're indivisible. We stand together, we stand united, and we stand as one. And I encourage us to keep doing that. Little things like checking on the senior citizens in your congregation, in your neighborhood, putting a few grocery items on their front step and giving them a call and telling them, here's you some groceries to help out, and just checking and see if they need to go to the drugstore, see if they need to go to the hospital for an appointment or whatever. There's all kind of things that we can be doing together. That explains the concept that we are our brother's keeper. But seemingly a lot of times when this first started off, It was a me first attitude. It's what can I get for myself? What can I keep for myself? I'm going to take care of myself regardless of anybody else or not. And I was just checked on that by the Holy Spirit and saying, you know what? Now is the time, rather than trying to be so independent, it's a time to reach out to others and to help them. And you know what? Can I say this also? Even after this virus is gone, even after it's under control, and folks, it will be. This is just another thing that we're going to have to overcome, but we are overcomers. And this too is going to pass, and we're going to be strong again, and we're going to be united again. But let's not forget the Spirit of the Lord and how we lean upon the Lord during these troublesome times, because when things get better, let's don't forget that we still need to trust God during those times as well. I want to go to the book of Romans tonight, and I want to read to you some of the things that the apostle wrote that we should be incorporating into our life each and every day, not just because it is a time of distress and it is a time of the COVID-19 virus, which seemingly is spreading all over the world. And I want to say this too, the problem with me first attitude is, let's not forget there's people all over this world who are suffering. It's not just our community, it's not just our church, it's not just our state or our nation, but there's people all over this world that are hurting. I thank God that we are as advanced in our medical facilities as we are, and this is going to help a lot. But we as the body of Christ, I don't think we realize the power that is within us and the power that we have access to, and that's the power of prayer. We should not have to be encouraged to pray. We should do so automatically, especially during these times that we're facing. So I urge you tonight, pray like you've never prayed before. Get your family together, not just on Sunday, but each and every day. There's nothing wrong with starting each and every day off with a word of prayer. Go into the Word of God. Be strengthened by His Word. But here's some of the things the apostle told us in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, beginning with verse number 10. If you have a Bible near you, you might want to open that Bible up. If you have a highlighter, you might even want to highlight these things. Because if you'll read these daily, just as our nation has come out with five things that we're to do on a constant basis in order to fight against this virus, and you've probably all seen the vice president and some of the other members of that team hold up this little cardboard that says there's five things that we need to be doing. If you'll read these particular scriptures each and every day, it'll remind us and it'll keep that in front of us to know how we are supposed to react and what we're supposed to do during these times. Not only the troublesome times, but in the good times as well. The writer says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. That kind of overrides the me, myself attitude, doesn't it? Kind of speaks to us that we all do have an obligation to lift and to help our brother and to love one another. Not slothful in business, but fervor in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. We should definitely highlight that particular verse. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, listen to this very carefully, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen and amen to those words of encouragement. Those are things that we can put into our life each and every day, especially during the times that we're living in now. The Word of God is so instrumental. The Word of God is so needful. We need it each and every day of our life. There's instruction there. There's the road to salvation there. And certainly Let me just say tonight, if you're listening to us and if you're watching us on live stream tonight and you're perplexed, as many people are, but you've never been introduced to Jesus. You've never known that there is a Savior who bled and died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. You know, one thing that makes the church even rejoice during times of sorrow and grief is the fact that the church knows that this is not our final reward. I know, and I put my faith and trust in the Lord to take care of me each and every day. I believe that He will. I believe that God is in command of my life because I relinquished my life to Him when I came to an altar of repentance and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life to be His Lord and Savior. But I also know, and I have that assurance, that when I leave this walk of life, I have a better place to go to, a place where there'll be no more sickness, there's no more sorrow, no more pain, and thank God, there'll be no more death. I have that promise from Jesus Christ Himself. Unfortunately, there's many people today who've not heard that story, who have not been taught the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth not because of His guilt and shame, but because of our guilt and our sin. And He came and paid that sin debt for us. He gave up His life voluntarily on the cross of Calvary. He took the stripes, the many stripes that they laid upon His body. He did that for our healing. Somewhere on His body, there's a stripe for the healing of the COVID-19 virus. I believe that with all of my heart. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Right now, we need to lean on faith. We need to trust in faith. We need to walk in faith. Amen. And we need to operate in faith. Faith to believe that God is going to see us through this trying time. God is going to come out victorious. I know that with all of my heart. I put my faith and trust in Him. And you say, Brother Eddie, what if you get the virus? Well, if I get the virus, then I know that God can heal me. And if it's not His choice to heal me and He takes me home, I'm going to be in a better place. I believe that with all of my heart. And that makes me lay down and sleep at night when nothing else will. I can't get comfort from the news. I can't get solace from what they're telling us and promising us and all that. But I tell you one thing. When God promises you something, it will come to pass. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Church, continue to place your faith in the power of God. We will overcome. We will come out stronger. You know, there's a saying that what God doesn't keep us from, He keeps us through. And the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He didn't keep them out of the fire, but He kept them through the fire. Neither did He keep Daniel out of the lion's den, but He closed the mouths of the lions. And Daniel came out victorious. And I believe those, all of those times that whatever trial, whatever temptation, whatever persecution arose in those great patriarchs of old, they came out stronger, they came out more dependent and faithful to God. And I believe, too, the church is going to rise out of this. But let me tell you again, band together, pray one for another, love one another, look for an opportunity to help one another. I know so many times it's about me, it's about me. It's kind of that me first attitude, and I'm going to take care of myself first. I encourage you to take care of yourself, but in so doing, don't forget that there's others. There's others maybe less fortunate than you. There's others that don't know Jesus. What a wonderful opportunity during this time to point them to Christ. And we don't know the mind of God. His ways, His thoughts are so much higher than ours. What about out of all of this, if people all over the world turn to Christ and are saved? Then we look back and say, Lord, Thy will be done. Sometimes, we preached a message not long ago. God asks hard things out of us sometimes. Not impossible, but hard things. Hard things for us, not for Him. All things are possible with Him. I want you to know that First Pentecostal Church loves you. First Pentecostal Church will pray with you and pray for you. We invite you to contact us by email, our church Facebook. If you want to leave a comment, if you just want to put a name of a prayer request, we'll be praying for you. Because one thing at First Pentecostal Church, we believe in prayer. We believe that God is a healer. We believe that God is a deliverer. And we certainly believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Amen. And we pray that each and every one of you, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, please, somewhere, sometime, find a church. You're welcome here, but find a church that preaches the truth. And get acquainted with Jesus Christ. A personal invitation. to ask him to come into your life, to be saved, to be filled with power. The Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power, not only the power of resurrection, but the power to withstand the trials and tribulations of this life. And we know that there are many. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but we know God is a deliverer out of each and every one. Again, we thank you for tuning in tonight. This is maybe the second time we've live streamed, and we're going to try to tweak it and get a little bit clearer video. But you know, this has kind of hit us kind of quickly too, so we're trying our very best. But hopefully you were able to hear the word tonight. If not, please go back to the scriptures. Again, my scriptures came from the scripture of the day was 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. The text came from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And then if you don't read those, at least go to Romans chapter 12 and read verses 10 through 21. I would encourage you to do that on a daily basis because it is so in tune to what we're facing right now. It'll help you through each and every day. Again, I want to tell you that continue to do the things that you've been requested to do. Still practice social distancing. We've heard that word. We've come up with some new words here during this time. Thoroughly wash your hands. Do those things that you do need to do with your hygiene. And sanitize and disinfect surfaces frequently touched in your home. And above all that, pray one for another. Encourage your children. Talk to your children. Don't try to hide things from them. Let them know, amen, that they can put their faith and trust in God. Because children will mimic what the adults do. If they see fear and anguish in your eyes, then they're going to be fearful. But settle them down and tell them that God's going to take care of them. Pray with them each and every night. May God bless you. We love you. Again, our next service time will be this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Looking forward to hearing or being with each and every one of you. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Stay safe and know that First Pentecostal Church will be praying for you. Good night, everybody. We love you so much.